This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everyone. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. We have got a packed show today. Packed. Coming up at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, we got Mark Schlereth joining us on the program, as we will every single Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. He already made it clear. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. I think he told us flat out, I don't care what your listeners think. Which I thought was very funny.
Yeah.
But he is to the point. You want an honest opinion, that's your man. He's going to join us at 3 o'clock. Mike Blowers at 3:30. Always an awesome conversation. We got the professor at 4 o'clock. Rasheem Green will be in our player spotlight today at 5 o'clock. And then immediately following Rasheem Green will be El Hombre, Michael Bradley. So it's packed, Dave.
Wow.
Much to discuss.
Yeah, Mark Schlereth is the kind of guy that, like, if somebody, you know, MF'd him or, you know, just started calling him names, he'd look at him like, okay.
Yeah.
Got no problem with that.
Or he'd have a snappy comeback, to which they'd be like, I don't know what to say now.
Yeah. And he's not a violent guy. Although we did see him throw his producer down in some kind of a wrestling hold and broke his rib.
Did he say that's his former producer now?
Yeah.
Is he no longer, did he beat him into submission and the guy left? What happened?
I don't know what happened there. Whatever it is, he doesn't really care.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good to have him on, man. He is always entertaining.
So good.
Looking forward to that conversation. Stay tuned for that. It'll be coming up. But Seahawks, we'll continue with that as now we get ready for the Tennessee Titans. And I was reading different articles last night about this team. I know what happened. We all know what happened in the first week. That was, if you're a Titans fan, that's a disaster. I mean, you didn't just lose. You went out there and got your butt handed to you. And, you know, they were looked at as this three-headed monster out there between Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown. You're like, what do you do to stop that? And the Cardinals stopped all of them. I mean, the trio really did little, if anything. Like a combined 7 catches for A.J. Brown and Julio. I think there was a touchdown grab in there. 57 yards for Derrick Henry. I mean, just an abysmal showing. And as great as that was to see, since they're your next opponent, I don't think that's who they are. I don't think that's the team I'm expecting to see coming. I would love to see that. I'd love to see an inept team, a team that just can't find a rhythm, can't find their footing, you know, wait for a couple weeks after they get out of Seattle. But that's not what I expect to see.
Yeah, and it's funny with Mike Vrabel. I mean, this guy's a disciplinarian, kind of an old-school type of guy. And remember, was he the coach in Houston when they did Hard Knocks down there?
And yes.
Yeah, you saw what he was all about. I mean, he kind of came off as a jerk a little bit, but I think his players like him. And, yeah, I think that was a case of a team that, you know, maybe didn't practice as well. I mean, you look at the Seahawks, 25 scratches, 27 scratches during the preseason games. They didn't play anybody. And, you know, they were still able to go out and practice well enough to, you know, go out and perform well. Look, you know, I was thinking about the text we got yesterday. That was a really good team they beat. Indianapolis has an A-list offensive line, first of all.
Yeah, that's a playoff team, 11-win team from last year.
Yeah, and then you got Wentz is, I forgot how good he is. I'm not saying he's elite, but he's a very good quarterback. And then, you know, they had T.Y. Hilton was hurt. They got 3 superstars on their defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good win. But, I mean, the Seahawks just, they came out and were ready to go. And obviously the Titans were not. I like how, you know, the thing that you sent last night about him calling Julio Jones.
Yeah, we'll get into that coming up. Maybe there's already tension and discord going on there we can count on. Maybe it'll blow up and egos will be involved. Sorry, Mike. This is going to be a rough week for Lefko. I think he's going to the game as a fan.
I'm going to the game, yes.
Are you going to wear your Houston Oilers stuff?
Actually, that would be the safe bet, right? Yeah. Can't wear Titans gear.
Right.
Probably wear Seahawks gear.
You could wear Titans gear. I don't think somebody might say something to you. I don't think you're going to get beat up. I don't think.
I'm a Seahawks fan, too. So it's tough. It's
a dilemma. No, you're not a fan. You're an objective journalist.
That's true.
What you are.
Right. We are not fans here, as John has told us.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge.
Unless we're talking about Pittsburgh. But what are you going to do? Are you going to wear something? Are you going to wear something that represents one of the two teams? Or are you going completely neutral?
I thought you were going to say completely nude.
No, nobody wins there.
Please don't do that.
Nobody wins.
How about this? Titans on the base layer, Seahawks on top. And then if the Titans somehow start to play well, you know, maybe
rip it off.
Take the exterior layer off, yeah.
Do you really want to antagonize the people around you who are going to be upset about the Titans doing well and then you're
going to
be...
No, that's why I'm going to wear like a Seahawks shirt over top.
But you said if the Titans start doing well, you take off the Seahawks shirt and expose the Titans gear, which I don't think is going to be well received.
Slowly. Maybe I'll wait till I walk to a little pocket of two Titans fans who are there and go find them and we'll huddle in the corner and...
Let me ask you if this exists. Is there a T-shirt that's like that light blue, like Houston used to have, with the oil derrick on it? Just a big oil derrick?
Yeah.
Those helmets were awesome. I love the old Houston Oiler logo, their colors.
The helmet was white, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pearson has one in his office because he used to work for the Houston Oilers, Dave Pearson. And it's just an awesome-looking helmet. So you... Maybe rock that. That would can get you.
Why don't you wear a helmet there?
What about a Warren Moon jersey? That's Oilers.
There you can probably get away with that. That's a way of bridging the gap.
I have one of those. So
do you?
There we go. Yeah.
Houston?
Yeah. Well, it's like one of those fake knockoff ones that still looks somewhat realistic.
Oh, you got to wear that in here.
Yeah, I'll wear that. Okay.
Yeah.
For Blue Friday, in a sense.
Right.
Well, we during this week, we'd have to shoo you out.
Yes.
Right. We'd have to, you know, say, I'm sorry, that can't fly.
Yeah, out, but. They're so far removed from the Houston Oilers. I played down there in one of the last, I think their last season in the Astrodome. Remember what a big deal that was in the 70s? The Astrodome, when that came in. And then remember, I think it was it Bad News Bears 2?
Yeah, they were breaking training.
Breaking training where they played.
In the Astrodome.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Bob Lemon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just, wow, I can't believe you remember that one. But, I mean, that was such a huge deal. And then, you know, by the end, before they got rid of it, I was down there for one of the last games. It was late in the season in 95. And there was probably 20,000 people there, but it felt like there was like 150 people total. So... Yeah, that was kind of a...
Was it a dump on the field the way the King Dome was? Like you're just playing on cement with turf over the top of it?
Yeah, indoor-outdoor carpeting, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh, boy, I can't imagine being tackled on that. That just sounds miserable. But we'll see. As much as we were talking about the receivers not doing anything in that first game, I'm wondering how hard do you think they're studying what the Cardinals did to slow those two guys down? Because we've got... The cornerback is the question mark for this team. Still, I would say. Not certain about what you're going to get. You like DJ Reed when he's healthy. Flowers played okay. Gave up that one touchdown grab there. I don't know if that was his fault or if there was supposed to be safety help behind him. I'm not sure. But
no, there wasn't.
No, so that was on him.
Yeah, I mean, it was the zero blitz. You know, there was nobody in the middle of the field.
He was on his own.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to probably, I don't know, you pick your poison there. I don't know what their rules are, but... You know, do you want to play him inside or outside? I mean, I think inside's a much easier throw. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know how badly he got beat there or if he chose that, but yeah, that was a tough situation for him. But
yeah, any concerns going up against these two monsters, Julio Jones and Brown?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit.
Because I got to tell you, it makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you can always give him help over the top and stuff like that, and then you know the linebackers are going to have to do a really good job of. You know, getting underneath it. But we always talk about the pass rush, and we'll have Rasheem Green on today, who's, you know, we'll see. I mean, if Rasheem is able to continue to play this way, if he has a game like that every week, he's going to the Pro Bowl. I mean, I'm not saying he would necessarily get a sack every game.
17 sacks.
Yeah, I'll take that. But, I mean, he played so well. But, yeah, your pass rush has to get to him. And apparently... Whoever Chandler Jones was rushing over, they gave up quite a few. So, yeah, I remember we were talking about yesterday with Dave Craig and how he got sacked 8 times by Derek Thomas back in 1990.
Almost 8 times.
Yeah, or 7 times, yeah, almost 8 times. And I think it was Andy Heck that gave up a lot of those, and I believe that was his rookie year. So
it's kind of
a tough way to go there.
That's the old line is a really awful spot, especially if you're on the ends, if you're a tackle and you're giving up sacks as a rookie. I'll never forget our buddy Big Ray against the Raiders. Was it Monday Night Football? I mean, he was just being abused as a rookie by the Raiders. It was a really rough night.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as a rookie in this league, that's rough. You're going up against some of the best athletes in the world, and you know you're trying to get your footing out there, and you're exposed. I mean, it's right there for everybody to see.
Well, and it's interesting. You know, I was mentioning earlier that like cornerback is going to be like the new offensive line, because it's, you know, it's obvious when you screw up. Now, offensive line, not necessarily obvious, but anytime there's a sack or anything, it's like, oh, the offensive line's terrible. Oh, they get stuffed at the line. You know, same thing with the corner. I mean, somebody catches a pass. Oh, there he goes again. Yeah, Trey Flowers. I mean, you're going to get you're both of those positions, you know, whether it's left tackle, right tackle, you're facing these ridiculous athletes.
Yep.
It's the same thing as at corner. I mean, you've got Julio Jones and A.J. Brown coming to town. I mean, look at guys like DK Metcalf. I mean, those are some of the most ridiculous athletes in the world, and that's not even close to being an exaggeration, because we know that in the Olympic trial, DK Metcalf beat two sprinters.
Yeah.
He came in 15th out of 17, but still the fact that he beat anybody, those guys do that for a living. I mean, this guy's, you know, you always hear the word freakish or whatever, but that, I mean, just the best athletes in the world.
Yeah. You guys can text in 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line throughout the show, whatever you got. A couple people weighing in. 253 saying, why are you guys nervous? Seattle has a better secondary than Arizona. They have one good DB, Buddha. Mm. Is the secondary better? I don't know.
Well, our safeties are.
The safeties, I will and put I don't even know against anybody. But the cornerbacks, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know about the cornerbacks. I don't have that level of confidence in the cornerbacks yet. I need to see it. I need to see them do their thing. And they're, you know, we just talked about a couple of moments that weren't that great in this last game. We'll see what they're able to do against the Titans. And maybe the Titans will, you know, take them a while to get things going. Others texting in saying Titans All-Pro Taylor Lewan gave up all five sacks to Jones.
That's not actually true.
That's not true?
He gave up two, and then they moved Chandler Jones around. So he did it on some other guy named Lamb and Nate Davis. And
well, I saw the highlight, and I saw that they showed Lewan getting beat.
Lewan got beat a lot.
Right.
He's 11 months removed from a torn ACL, so he's still probably recovering. But, yes, he is supposed to be good, and he gave up two of those. And
two of the five?
More.
Yeah.
What?
Two of the five, yeah.
Oh, two of the five. Yeah. I thought you were going to read the text that said they lost all respect for me. That was inevitable.
Who did?
One of the texters. It already scrolled through.
Why?
Oh, because 253. Because I have lost all respect for Lefko.
Oh, because you're a Titans fan.
Yeah. Hey, if I get it back after this week, I will gladly lose your respect for 1 week if I can get it back next week.
Can I look at the bright side on that text, though? At least they had some respect for you.
There was respect there to begin
with.
That's
true. I had respect to lose.
Yeah, you couldn't lose respect if it weren't there to begin with. So that's a good sign. We'll see. That's still a question mark for me. And maybe I'm being the pessimist, or that it's my new offensive line, if you will. But I'm my concerns center around the cornerbacks on this team. I do, and you bring up a great point that you've got arguably the best safety tandem in the entire league behind them. That certainly helps a lot. And the pass rush looks to be good as a committee. We'll see if they can do that in this game, which would, you know, behind them, in front of them, takes pressure off what's in between.
Yep.
You know, so exactly. That would be very helpful if those guys, you know, those two groups, the D-line and the safeties, come up with a big game and take some of the heat off of Trey Flowers and Reed.
Well, and it'd be nice if there was a full house of people making lots of noise. I feel like...
You feel like it's not going to be?
I don't know. We'll see. I'm curious. I'm curious to see, because, you know, it's kind of funny. You look at over the weekend, I mean, I didn't see... if it was like entirely packed last night, the Monday night football game, it looked pretty full. But college football, my gosh, I mean, at Ohio State, they had over 100,000 people jammed in there. Michigan, you know, in Denver, and the Colorado game was pretty, you know, I feel like
it looked packed last night. I mean, I wasn't really looking for empty seats, but it looked, I don't know what that stadium holds, but it looked pretty darn full.
Yeah, I think it's around 70. And the thing is, when we were down there for the first preseason game, it was like people were, you know, like usually there'll be an entire section that's empty.
Right.
You know, but people were interspersed all or throughout the entire stadium, maybe just trying to socially distance or whatever, trying to, you know, not get too close to other people. But it looked like it was probably 75% full. And last night it looked around 90. So I'm just very curious to see what happens, because that's a huge advantage here.
253 says, Dave, slap yourself. It's going to be packed.
Okay, good.
That'll teach you. Don't you dare question.
I'll tell you what, if it's packed, I will slap myself.
Another one.
Hard.
425. You must be crazy if you don't think that stadium's going to be packed.
Okay.
So you're A, crazy. B, you're going to have to slap yourself, which is what crazy people do.
Walk around
slapping themselves.
Oh, man. Who's the coach that punched himself? Les Steckel. He was a coach. I had him in Denver, and he was a like a former Green Beret or something. And when he was coaching Minnesota, I want to say it was in a press conference. I'm not sure it was on video or anything. But, yeah, he balled up his fist, and he was doing the interview, and he punched himself in the chin.
For what reason?
Because he was mad they lost. He was taking, you know, he's taking the responsibility. I'm the coach.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, I guess whatever works for
Bob,
you.
Bob, if you punched yourself, who would win?
We would both lose. It would be bad.
Both your fist and your face.
My face and my fist. It would just, nobody wins there. Rashad Penny is going to be interesting because I haven't heard any official announcement on how long he's going to be out. We heard that he's, you know, Ian Rappaport saying it could be a few weeks, but I haven't heard anything official from the team per se. Pete Carroll yesterday, here's what he had to say about Penny.
He's got a little bit of a calf issue, and we'll determine the next couple of days how we handle that. But we got to take care of him, make sure that he gets back. He looked great when the couple carries that he had, but it got tight on him. So we've done some tests and stuff like that. We'll let you know the next couple of days, but we got to take care of him.
So if and when he comes back, whenever it is, if it's a week, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, you can't just throw him in there as the backup, can you? If Pete is all about competition, and he's honest about that, how do you justify this guy being the backup? How did he win that spot, A, in training camp, because he hardly practiced, hardly played, so I don't know how he won that backup spot. B, he's now out with an injury, so however long he's out, is he automatically inserted as the backup? Or I guess it would depend on how Collins or DJ Dallas or these guys are doing, but I just don't see how Pete could do that and sort of save face with his team saying, hey, it's all about competition. This guy won that spot. No, he didn't.
Well, I mean, you're going to put the best player out there. I don't think he's doing it because he's doing him a favor. He's not, like, giving him preferential treatment. It's because he thinks he's the second best running back. So, I mean, I don't, you know, all the competition and everything. And again, Bob, we always talk about this. We don't see practice. We don't know what it is that's getting him. I think for fans are just frustrated because every time you see him, it's just for a glimpse and you get, you know, a taste of it. And like, you remember the big cutback run he had against the Green Bay Packers a couple of years ago. And you're like, oh man, look at the potential there. Look at the trap play that he ran in Philadelphia.
We talk about the same moments all the time because he doesn't create any new ones.
Right. So you get those kinds of plays. And like you said, you know, he had a couple of good runs the other day. There was a couple times in the preseason. But, I mean, you just can't rely on him. I think you're to the point where you just have to say, look, if he gives you anything, it's just icing on the cake. I mean, it's gravy. It's extra. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, whether
that's,
or not
that's where I'm at with him. I'm just I've got zero expectation of him. Right. If he comes in and he lights it up, awesome. Awesome. I want the guy to succeed. I'm a Seahawks fan. I want him to play well. I'm just not counting on him playing well. I don't have an expectation that he's going to be great. If he is, it's a bonus for me.
Right.
I'm to that point with him. Same with LJ Collier, to be honest. If he gives you anything, I'm like, all right, cool. That's more than I was expecting, which is nothing. You know, the fact that he was a healthy scratch, we talked about it yesterday. I feel like that says a lot about a guy in a team that's got a rotation going. They don't have, you know, we talked about the rotation. Pete talked about the rotation. They were getting everybody in all these different positions, you know, where usually you'd establish a starter, you'd establish a backup. They're, you know, whether it's the center, whether it was, you know, the guys on the line, there's a lot of rotation going on. He wasn't even part of it, wasn't even active.
Right.
So, you know, him and Penny, I'm just to the point where I'm like, if they give you something, hey, that's icing on the cake because I didn't expect anything anyway. And maybe that's being too cynical, but to this point, I'm not sure what they've done to give anybody an expectation. There's hope, but an expectation that they're going to give you anything?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it all boils down to, do you think Pete's a good coach or not?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he doesn't miss some guys.
Yeah, okay. Maybe he's missing. I don't know. Maybe he's, you know, sometimes there's this thing we used to talk about. You fall in love. This is when I was in the stock market, too. Be like, you're in love with that stock. You just are. You're in love with it.
You just believe in it.
You're in love with a player. Sometimes I think that coaches get maybe a little bit blinded by that. And I think, you know, Trey Flowers is probably a good example of that, where I think Pete gives him, you know, a lot of a lot of props, and you know, people don't see it necessarily, and so they start to question Pete Carroll. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I always think that Pete would probably know more, and I tend to listen when Pete says a guy is playing well, because you know, you get in the film room and you start looking at all these little plays. Like, good example, remember when we were talking to Pete, I go, yeah, the first kickoff, Alton Robinson just ran over it. And he's like, yeah, that's a good catch there, because I just happened to be watching him. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're watching Rashad Penny and Trey Flowers every single play and you're sitting there, you know, and there's lots of things that you wouldn't know that are really good that they're doing that Pete could point out to you. So I just tend to trust him, but I understand the frustration, because now people are starting to – compare him to CJ Process. Remember here at the station where we had that montage that was like 3.5 minutes long, and it was Pete giving an update on CJ Process.
Yeah.
And it was like all cut and put together, and I was like, yeah, he's gonna miss a couple games because of the groin, and then
he's gonna miss a couple.
So it gets very frustrating for people. I understand that.
Yeah. All right, let's take two.
Well, the Mariners announced that a big announcement is coming on Thursday. Wonder what that could be. Well, Jeff Passan reported earlier today that Seattle has been picked to host the 2023 MLB All-Star Game. The only other time they have hosted it in this ballpark, 2001. That was a pretty good season.
Pretty good season.
We didn't love the way it ended. Obviously had higher expectations, but 116 wins. And I was at that All-Star Game. It's such a cool event. Such a cool event. And of all of the All-Star Games, you know, NBA, NFL, NHL, I guess I can't really speak to the NHL. I haven't paid a ton of attention to how they handle it. This is a game. This represents and resembles what you see day in, day out in that sport more than any other, right? Or more than football and basketball. Again, hockey, I'm not sure what they do. But we've talked about the Pro Bowl. It's a joke. It's a silly waste of time. NBA, all of a sudden, defense is optional.
Yeah, you know, like 190 to 180.
Yeah, it's done. Let's come up with the most crazy in-game dunks and crazy no-look passes. And, yeah, there's a fun element to it, but that's not what you're watching in the regular season. This is a baseball game. And yeah. It's the best of the bunch. I love the All-Star game.
I do, too. It's the only one worth watching. It's the only one that's competitive. So, yeah, I'm looking at some of the, you know, over past years. Obviously, it was Coors Field last year. Dodger Stadium in 2020. Progressive Field, 2019, what's that, Cleveland?
Yep.
Then 2018, Nationals Park. Lone Depot Park, 2017. Anyone?
No.
Miami.
Anyone? Is that Miami?
Sponsors change so many times on these buildings, it's hard to keep up.
2016, Petco. I know that's San Diego.
San Diego. Yeah.
All right, we're done. Okay, moving on. So,
yeah,
a little
we're excited.
Bob ended with you.
Yeah,
not bad.
Hey, Petco. All right.
Yeah, Petco. All right, well, sad news here. Norm MacDonald dies at age 61 after a 9-year battle with cancer. He was 61. He also hosted the 1998 ESPYs, and I believe both of you will like this clip.
It's great to be here on ESPN. I love sports, man. You can see sports on ESPN you don't see on other networks. You know, like kickboxing. That's my favorite sport. Kickboxing is great when you think about it. It combines the style and grace of boxing with kicking.
Such a deadpan delivery. Just hilarious guy. Hilarious.
I think he kept it quiet, his battle with cancer.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knew about it.
Yeah. Just in memory of Norm MacDonald, I'd like to be known as Turd Ferguson for the rest of the show. Remember when he did Jeopardy? That was when he was Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, so good.
See that? It's a funny hat. It's a joke. It's a joke name. I thought he was the best at doing the SNL update.
Oh, the Weekend Update?
Weekend Update. Dennis Miller was always really good, but I thought he was the best.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. I mean, he's hilarious.
You know what I was told just recently is that the reason why he got fired is because who's the guy that runs it?
Lorne Michaels.
Lorne Michaels, maybe, or maybe it was Dick Ebersole, or is that his name? NBC guy. He was friends with O.J. Simpson, and Norm MacDonald would not let up on the O.J. Simpson jokes. Mm. And so that was one of the reasons, anyways, supposedly, that he got fired.
All right. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. Coming up, Mariners don't know what day of the week it is, and it might be why they keep winning. We'll talk more about that coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up at the top of the hour, Mark Schlereth will join us on the program. You don't want to miss that conversation. Always really good stuff from him. Very honest, blunt, to the point. Love it.
Doesn't care what people think of him.
Doesn't not care at all, Dave. You got to respect that. That's kind of a Charles Barkley attitude. Like, well, here are my thoughts.
Well, you know, it's funny. Ready. Some people can pull that off and some can't. Some people just say it, but they don't really live it. And Schlereth, like, I feel like he lives it.
Yeah, Charles does too.
Yeah.
Charles very much does. He's just, here are my thoughts. You deal with it how you see fit. I'm not going to change my opinion based on your reaction. All right, reminder that Mike Salk is back in the mornings each weekday from 6 to 10 a.m. You can hear from Brock Huer daily at 7:45 and 9:30. Are they replaying him, or is he coming on twice? What's going on there? 7:45 and 9:30 with Brock?
Yeah, they're replaying it.
Okay. I was going to say, he's not making two appearances. Come on. But you've got two opportunities to hear Brock. That's great. And then John Clayton every day at 8:45, so tune into that. Meanwhile, the Mariners are 31-18 now in one-run games. Even games that shouldn't be one-run games, but they find a way to get it to a one-run situation
like last night.
That's
part of it.
Hey, they still won. It's a bottom-line business, and bottom-line, they won, Dave. Yeah. They like to keep it close. It's just they've got a knack for keeping things close, and they find a way to win. And last night, it was the Mitch Haniger show.
The pitch. Swung on. High drive. Left field. Going back for Verdugo. Under track. Going back. Bye-bye. Three-run homer, Mitch Haniger. And the Mariners have a 5-2 lead over the Boston Red Sox with two outs, bottom of the seventh.
Mitch Haniger having a career year. Durable. Just producing. Love the guy. And then after the game, just said, hey, this is really fun right now.
It's fun. I mean, coming to the ballpark, playing for something in September, that's where every player wants to be, you know. Going into every season, you hope to make the playoffs and win the World Series. And come September, you hope that you're right in the fight to win the division or make the wild card. And it's been really fun showing up every day. There's a lot of energy. And it's easy to come to the ballpark and play and work when you're still in it. You know, that's every kid's dream and every guy's dream once you get up here.
That's three games in a row with a home run for Mitch Haniger. 4-for-4 last night.
Is that rare that we hear from him? And
yes.
He's that fired, like he wants to talk. And
you don't hear from him often. He doesn't do a ton of it. Yeah. We've efforted for people that always text him, why don't you get this guy? Why don't you get that guy? We put in a request. That's all we can do.
Yeah.
And it's up to the PR staff for these teams to provide the player. We can't, you know, call them on their cell phone. There's protocol. So right. we've requested Mitch the entire season, and he's politely declined every time.
Very politely. He's a really nice guy. I just
you can see he's shy. Like, he did the post-game interview. I don't know if you saw with Jen Mueller out there. And you can just kind of see just the way he talks that he's got a shyness to him. Like, maybe it's not the most comfortable thing for him. You know, and he kept looking over his shoulder for somebody to come dump the Gatorade on him, which I thought was funny. She would ask a question, and he was answering, and in between every other word, he'd be looking around like, where's Murphy? Where's that Gatorade bucket? But yeah, I just think he's probably a guy that doesn't love that part of it, you know, being interviewed or being in front of a microphone.
It's fine. It's perfectly fine. And I like, you know, a lot of times people in our business will, oh, that guy's a terrible interview. And I really don't mind that, just because, look, I always say, these guys aren't politicians. They're not smooth talkers necessarily. They're really good baseball players, really good football players. So I respect that about him. The work that he put in, I'm so glad to see it pay off, because, I mean, the guy just could not get started. And we talk about this in football, and we were just talking about Penny and, you know, guys with pro size that they just never get going because of the injuries. And with Mitch, I mean, he looked so good, and he was an all-star, and then all of a sudden the injuries start coming. Remember, he got hit in the face, you know, with a pitch. I mean, you talk about the
– then he got hit elsewhere.
Yeah, and then even – what's worse, by the way?
I don't know. I think those are the two worst options.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
and it's like asking you,
I can hit you in the junk or in the face with this with this fastball. Where do you want it?
Right. Would you rather drown or burn to death?
It's like there's nobody wins in this scenario. This is bad.
Right. So, yeah, and just for him to be able to get back and get healthy, because he was out all last year doing his interesting little workouts, what we saw videos of. Remember the one thing where he had like a big, like a heavy bag that you would hit like between his legs, and he was, you know, rolling around and doing all these things and lots of pull-up type of stuff, which I hate.
It's
amazing all the work that he's put into it, and it's paying off for him. I couldn't be happier for him.
Well, and he may be the biggest bargain in all of baseball. He's making just a shade over $3 million this year.
It's incredible.
30-plus home runs. I mean, in the baseball world, he should be making, you know, $20 million. Or more than that, at 30 years old, an outfielder that can throw, that can field, that can hit, and he's making three. He's like when the Seahawks had all those guys on
like
rookie
Russ.
Deals. Yeah,
Russ was making like $400,000.
Yeah, you're just getting the bargain of a century on the production you're getting from that guy, and that's what you're getting now. You could argue, well, he didn't give you anything last year, and year before that he was hurt. Okay, so it evens out. But just looking at isolating this year, what he's being paid versus what he's producing. Incredible bargain.
Yeah.
Quickly, J.P. Crawford talking about just kind of losing track of what day of the week it was based on the crowd that was out there.
I forgot today was Monday. I thought today was the weekend. Tonight was really lit out here. It was dope.
I'm going to tell you right now, every night should be a weekend for you guys.
Absolutely. Why not? We're in the hunt. Come on, Mariner fans. Let's go.
That's as animated as I've heard him.
That's JP?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He sounds totally different. Usually he's very cool.
Yeah, he's like very measured. I like that. Ooh, I thought it was a weekend.
I love this kid, man. I think everybody does. So there's so many guys on this team to like. But yeah, JP has been just fantastic.
Yeah. Well, they got game one. They got game one done, and two more to go. We'll see what they can get going. Meanwhile, Logan Gilbert found something different last night. I'll let you hear what he had to say about that. Coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Mark Schlereth will join us on the program. You're going to want to tune in for that conversation. He'll be with us every Tuesday here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. A reminder to stay tuned in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to announce this show's Seahawks code word for your chance to win two tickets to the Seahawks home opener. That's this Sunday, September 19th, and the Seahawks are welcoming home the 12s with a pregame concert from local Seattle artists Macklemore and Aaron Jones. Tickets available at Seahawks.com/tickets. Or
did they text in a word?
Huh?
Did they text in a word or a name or something like that?
No, we're gonna tell them a code word.
Okay. Yeah, this is a different one than yesterday.
It's different.
A different one than yesterday.
It should be Turd Ferguson.
I don't think we are in control of the word.
It was predetermined before this happened, sadly.
Sorry.
This is not, if they left it up to you, it'd always have some poop reference, Dave.
Stop it.
The word is
Jim used to get really mad at that.
Yeah, he didn't like when you said cake.
Yeah, cake your pants. Didn't like that.
I don't know. I just don't think it's funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then he would laugh at things that he thought were funny. And I don't care if anybody else thinks it's funny. I think it's funny.
That was his.
Like, yeah, that's kind of the point.
That was his. He was the king of that statement. Like, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I think caking your pants is funny. Take that.
Right.
So there you go. All right. Moving on. Logan Gilbert looked good last night. Had some emotion. Looked fired up out there. And he talked about the emotion he was showing out there on the hill.
Just kind of came out. I don't even really remember what happened. I'm sure part of it was just the crowd getting into it. It's a big spot like that. And yeah, it's just, sometimes it just comes out, I guess.
I like that. It indicates confidence to me. Like he's one of those guys, you can tell he's very respectful of the game. He understands coming in as a rookie that, you know, what his place is and what he should be. And I love that by the end of the year, all of a sudden this guy, you know, it'll be interesting to watch him over the years, because his rookie year, he was just I feel like he was like a perfect rookie. You know, he had some deference for the game, and he was just very, I don't know, his emotions were always kind of in check and very steady and everything, and just kind of, you know, the old saying that rookies are meant to be seen, not heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was perfect for him. But now
there's a humbleness to him. You're right. It's just kind of a respect that he seems to exude out there. And he's given you reason to be really excited about what he's going to be. He's had the ups and downs as a rookie. He's had electric performances. He was great last time. I mean, 6 innings, 2 runs on 5 hits, had just 1 walk, struck out 9 and on 99 pitches. Now, his ERA is just a little under 5. That's not where you want it ultimately. But, again, being a rookie, he's going to be uneven. He's going to have those days where he goes out there and just gets torched. And it's happened. But he's had days where he's shown you, man, when this kid really gets it dialed in, he can be an absolute weapon. I mean, he's got number one stuff. We'll see if he ends up being that. But he's got an electric arm, and he's capable of a lot. So,
well, that's the fourth time he's gone this year into the sixth inning. So that really meant something to him, I feel like. And then also, is that career high for him as far as Ks go?
I believe he might have had another game where he had 9, didn't he? Yeah, I have to look at his game log.
Looking right now.
I don't have him memorized.
You're right. Yeah, he had it against the Angels, at the Angels. He had 9. He had 8 against New York, the Yankees. So, but yeah, 9. And then it sounded like it was really important to him to, you know, that they had the faith to send him back out there for the 6th. And yeah, I was listening to Service afterwards talking about that and, you know, how important that was to him and wanted to give him that confidence, a vote of confidence.
Well, here's we'll give you Service's thoughts on him in a moment, but here he is just talking about, you know, his level of confidence, Logan Gilbert.
I'd say so. It kind of goes hand in hand. Sometimes you get good results and the confidence comes from it, and other times I have to be confident and that leads to good results. So I think tonight it was just a little bit of both, but I feel pretty good with where I'm at right now.
Yeah, 9 strikeouts, 1 walk, 2 runs to that lineup. That's a good day. That's a good day at the park for Logan Gilbert. And here's Scott Service just talking about his ability to rise to the moment.
You know, it starts with pitching, and Logan really set the tone tonight. I thought he was outstanding. That's a really good lineup they have over there. It's a very veteran team. You know, we throw 15 strikeouts at them tonight and only 1 walk. But it all starts with our starter. Logan was just dominant, went right after him. I thought it might be a good matchup for him tonight, and he just – you know, super aggressive. I thought his mound presence, and he looked every bit of a big game pitcher for a guy who's, you know, in his rookie season. It's pretty fun to see.
He did not face a batter that was under 250 this year with their average. I mean, you look at going across the board, Hernandez, Schwarber, Bogarts, I mean, it goes 252, 258, 300, 273, 284, 287. I mean, that,
yeah.
Scott's kind of threw that in there, like, yeah, that's a pretty potent lineup they have over there. Yeah, they are. So that makes it even sweeter.
Yep, it was a tremendous effort. Now, what's interesting is, you know, we see that emotion from him. We love it. We saw that a little bit of emotion from Mitch rounding first base after he hit that home run. He's got, you see him yell, and he's, you know, pumping the fist, and we love that. Do you love it when you see it from Kelnick, who shows it a lot? When he's frustrated, you see him strike out, slam the bat on the ground. He gets upset. I saw who was it? Might have been Divish last night or somebody sort of saying, yeah, I like that about him because it's the way I am. I'm negative or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but kind of I'm angry or something along those lines. I think there's a charm to it as a player at first, but I could see if it's not followed by some level of success, fans going, okay, enough of the tantrums, enough of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
Do you view it differently with Kelnick?
I think it's a great question. And I would say it's starting to kind of wear thin. Now, do I care? All I care about is, does he produce?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, he's a good kid. We talked to him. I thought he was really a good interview, if that's any indication. I think it is. But yeah, that saying, you know, the train goes by so often you don't even notice it. I mean, if you're doing it all the time, like when it comes out of Haniger, you know, that means something.
It stands out because right. You don't see it.
Yeah, and then same thing, and I love the steadiness of Logan Gilbert. I feel like upstairs he has got it figured out as far as, like, he knows what path he should be on. I'm not saying he's gotten the game figured out. He knows, though, like you mentioned, the humility. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about Kelnick. It's a great question because I do like the fire. I don't mind seeing him, you know, slam the helmet down, but – he's gotten run out of a game at a point where they had a short bench. He pretty much lets you know how he feels.
Yeah, you're not wondering. I wonder if he's upset. Yeah, he makes it clear how he's feeling about things. Whether he's super excited now, it goes the other way too. When he success, whether it's a, you know, a walk or a hit or a home run, whatever it is, very animated there as well. So you're getting extremes on both sides.
But I'd say this: you got to be yourself.
Yeah,
you know, you can't go out there and try to be someone else. But I don't know if. You know, it just depends on whether or not that's hurting him or not.
Yeah, and that's where Scott Servais and the hitting coach, everybody gets in. You know, they're going to see the impact of that. And if it's not, if it's just a matter of that's who he is, that's how he goes, it doesn't have any impact, good or bad, on what he's doing at the plate or in the field.
Right.
All right. And I guess
get used to it.
Yeah, you just live with who he is. All right, coming up, how can we possibly top what happened last week in week number two with Mark Schlereth? We'll see what he's got up his sleeve. He joins us next here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.